You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell you that today has been one of the most insane, coupled with yesterday, of course, periods of time within about 34 hours or so, 24 hours, 34 hours, somewhere around there, that I think I've ever experienced, aside from the Kennedy assassination on November the 22nd, 1963. Since then, this has been the wildest, craziest, most insane experience that I think I've ever had. You just don't know what's coming next. And you don't want to know. After a certain period of time, you find yourself saying, I don't want to know what's coming next. I watched yesterday as the clouds began to build, turned dark and ugly. Listened to the rhetoric bandied about. With the realization that the entire world is glued to CNN, watching an attack upon a small country in the Middle East, as if it were some Saturday morning softball game. Today I watched the clouds build even more and become darker and uglier. Then I saw the lightning flash. Then hail began to fall, and then I saw the funnel dip out of the cloud and head down toward the earth.
Thank you.
At that point, ladies and gentlemen, I looked around because I really didn't any longer know where I was. It certainly could not be the United States of America, nor any one of the several states that I understood made up the union known as the United States of America. Sure enough, ladies and gentlemen, we were not in Kansas anymore. I still don't know where we are. You see, not too long ago when William Jefferson Clinton first discovered that he was in deep trouble, he tried to instigate a war against Iraq for no reason whatsoever. He wanted to go to war with Iraq. He declared his intentions publicly. He sent his little Marxist socialist commie puckered up socialists around to hold panel discussions in order to promote public sympathy for his war. It didn't work. While conducting their little charade, their little propaganda ploy, at major universities across the United States, while it was being broadcast on major television, the students ridiculed them and shouted them down. They called it Clinton's racist war and said they wanted no part of it. Well, it is a racist war. The students were right. Where are they now? And so Clinton had to forget about that war. He had no public support. So he just let it fade away. And then, not too long after that, Saddam Hussein shut the door on the INSCOM inspectors. And Clinton once again rattled his sabers, threatened to go to war. Only this time he did not debate it in public, nor did he send out his little socialist, Marxist, commie, pucker-faced puppets to any universities, or anywhere for that matter. He just launched the planes, and nobody even knew they were launched until we were told they had just been recalled at the last moment that Saddam Hussein had backed down. You will remember that long before any of this began, I predicted that all of it would happen on this broadcast and on our website. And it was back in 1997 that I posted to the website the Majesty 12 pages, which literally forecast the future and predicted absolutely what we are watching now. William Jefferson Clinton made a trip to the Middle East. During that trip, ladies and gentlemen, during that trip, he conferred with the leadership of the nation of Israel. And I can tell you, quite frankly, because we're the ones who broke the story on our website and in Veritas, that the reason that the entire Monica Lewinsky revelations happened, and the reason that Clinton was propelled into the situation in which he finds himself at the present time, was because he had stepped on the toes of international Zionism. He was forcing Israel to do something that is politically impossible for Israel to do at this time, which was to turn over territory to the Palestinians, withdraw their people and their troops from those areas, and establish a Palestinian nation state. Now, what I'm about to tell you has nothing to do with whether Israel is right in taking that position or whether they are wrong. That's not the issue here. The issue is that President Clinton was forcing it, with the political and military might of the United States behind him. And they warned him to back off. He refused. And that's when the Monica Lewinsky thing became public. That's when he was publicly embarrassed. That's when he had to begin to lie under oath in a deposition, under oath to the grand jury, in the answer to the 81 questions which he submitted to the Congressional Judicial Committee. And then he was going to be impeached. And I told you that if he found his back against the wall, there would be war in the Middle East. To either delay the impeachment or to prevent it from happening. He made a trip to the Middle East, to Israel, conferred with the leadership of international Zionism. Came back to the United States, and within 24 hours, in concert with his Zionist friend, Tony Blair, in England, representing British Israelism, mounted a full-scale attack upon the nation of Iraq. The purpose, ladies and gentlemen, was to regain the favor of international Zionism and to delay or prevent the House of Representatives impeaching him, or even prevent bringing it to a vote until after the 5th of January, when the new Congress would be seated. You see, if he can just delay it for that long, once the new Congress is seated, there will be 5 more Democrats in the House of Representatives and 5 less Republicans, increasing his chances by 10 votes. Figure it out for yourself, folks. There would be 5 less voting against him and 5 more voting for him. It was a last-ditch effort. It was desperation. And it's not working. It is not working.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I can tell you why. The ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before. And then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a number. My head all full of stuffing. My heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry. Life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
Wonderful. Why, if our scarecrow back in Kansas could do that, the crows would be scared to pieces.
They would? Where's Kansas?
That's where I live. And I want to get back there so badly, I'm going all the way to Emerald City to get the Wizard of Oz to help me.
You're going to see a wizard?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if I went with you, this wizard would give me some brains?
I couldn't say.
Won't you take me with you?
Why, of course I will.
Hooray! We're off to be a wizard!
Oh, well, you're not starting out very well.
Oh, I'll try. Really, I will.
To us?
To us.
We want to be the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. We hear he is the wizard of wind, if ever a wizard there was. If ever a wonder of wind there was, the wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to be the wizard.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, the House of Representatives, led by the new Speaker, Mr. Livingston, announced that they're not going to wait, that it doesn't make any difference if we have troops in the field, that it is wrong to prolong the impeachment proceedings, and that they will hold debate and bring it to a vote tomorrow, on Friday, at the very latest, Saturday. Public opinion at the same time, despite what you see on the Communist News Networks, is mounting against the war in Iraq and against William Jefferson Clinton. Do you think, if public opinion were in his favor, that all of the moderates would now be announcing their vote for impeachment? Not on your life. Don't fall for the brainwashing of the propaganda of the Communist News Networks. That is not the mood nor the sentiment of the country. If you look at William Jefferson Clinton on television, it looks like somebody hit him right between the eyes with a 2x4, and it's about time he came to his senses and looked at reality. And it's not anything to do with his worrying about how many people he's killing in Iraq, which are quite a few, by the way, all of them innocent. All of them. Even those in the military barracks, they are people conscripted from the populace and forced into military service by the Iraqi government. They don't want to be there. It's incredible. The leader of the Senate majority, Mr. Trent Lott, Senator Trent Lott, has announced that if the House votes on any one or several of the articles of impeachment, he will make no deal with the White House, and the Senate will proceed to a trial. To a trial. Despite what is going on in Iraq or anywhere else in the world. And so, the Democrats came up in arms. All of the socialists in the country are crying and wailing and gnashing their teeth. And then they went after Speaker-elect Livingston. Just within the last hour and a half, it has been published that Mr. Livingston had several affairs during his 30-year marriage to his wife. This has been revealed by Democrats in an effort to say, look, see, why are the Republicans going after the president when they're guilty of the same thing? You see, they still don't get it. It has nothing to do with any sexual affair that the president may have had with Monica Lewinsky or with anyone else, ladies and gentlemen. And this isn't going to work. It's just going to anger the Republicans. And it's liable to really anger a lot of good Democrats. You see, Mr. Livingston never lied about his affair under oath. He never lied under oath in a deposition. He never lied under oath to a grand jury. He never lied in the answers to questions presented to him by the House Judiciary Committee, all of which the president has done. He never, ever, ladies and gentlemen, obstructed justice, which the president has done. He never tampered with witnesses, which the president has done. He has never made it a secret. He has atoned for it. His wife knows all about it. And as soon as the story broke, he did not try to hide it or deny it. He fully admitted it. But watch for more of this to occur. Watch for more of it to occur, ladies and gentlemen. They tried the same thing with the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Mr. Hyde. They started bringing up all kinds of sordid things from his past, not thinking for one minute that Mr. Hyde is not in danger of being impeached. Mr. Hyde has broken no laws. Mr. Hyde has not lied under oath. Mr. Hyde has not obstructed justice. Mr. Hyde has not tampered with witnesses. What the Democrat Party is doing, ladies and gentlemen, is pulling back the veil and showing their true character. Now we can see that they crawl up out of the sewer. They have no honor. They have no morals. They have no ethics whatsoever. None at all. And in the meantime, the vast herds of sheeple across the United States are glued to the communist news networks, soaking in all the propaganda, watching the bombs falling on Baghdad in a hysterical stupor. No, they're not jumping around, shouting and screaming, but they are relishing every moment of it. And all over the country, you see the fools, you see the sheeple darting in and out, carrying out their daily routine and their business activities and their shopping and doing it in a hurry so that they can get back to the television set. They don't want to miss a moment of this. And you hear them as they pop through the door. We're kicking their ass. We're getting those Iraqi terrorists. Boy, we're really killing them. As if that's something to really be proud of. These people are fools. No doubt about it whatsoever. They are stupid and ignorant beyond belief. I fought a war. And the president tells us that he attacked when he did so that it can all be over by Ramadan, which is a major religious holiday for the members of the Islamic religion, the Arab peoples. As if to say, we don't want to disturb your holidays, and so we'll just kill as many of you as we possibly can, destroy your homes, your businesses, your factories, your nation, your bridges, your roads, so that you can celebrate Ramadan sitting in rubble, mourning your dead children and relatives and neighbors. What an incredible, stupid statement that was for him to make. It's as if he thinks he's talking to a herd of cattle out in some field somewhere where no one with any brains can hear him. It is amazing. You will remember, ladies and gentlemen, last night, what did I warn you of? I've warned you of this in the past. I warned you that Russia is Iraq's ally. Today, Russia presented a very serious, very heavy objection, condemnation of the attack upon Iraq to the United Nations in the Security Council. They then sent a message to Washington, warning Washington to stop it. Everyone has ignored these warnings from Russia. At 15 minutes until 5 Mountain Standard Time this afternoon, Russia recalled its ambassador from Washington and placed all of its military forces on full alert. All of the military forces in Russia are on full alert. You see, this could be the answer to Russia's economic collapse. None of their military has been paid for over a year. Some of them for almost 2 years have not been paid. The Russian people are in the depths of a deep depression. Their currency has been devalued and devalued and devalued and devalued and devalued yet again. Most of Russia's banks are closed. Rubles are blowing through the streets in the wind because the Russian people have thrown them away. They will not use them. They barter or use American dollars that they have hoarded over the years. And still, the world is ignoring this, and I'm telling you, it is very, very serious. Very serious, ladies and gentlemen. Wake him up.
Why do you want to be oiled first?
He's got an axe.
He's had his mouth.
Do you suppose we'll meet any wild animals?
We might. Animals that eat
draw?
Some, but mostly lions and tigers and bears.
Lions?
And tigers?
And bears.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
I'll fight you both again if you want. I'll fight you with one paw tied behind my back. I'll fight you standing on one foot. I'll fight you with my eyes closed. Oh, pulling an axe on me, eh? Sneaking up on me, eh? Why?
Here. Go away and let us alone.
Oh, scared, huh? Afraid, huh? How long can you stay fresh in that can? Come on, get up and fight, you shivering junkyard. Put your hands up, you lopsided bag of hay.
Now, that's getting personal, Lion.
Yes. Get up and teach them a lesson.
Well, what's wrong with you teaching them?
Well, I hardly know them.
Well, I'll get you anyway, Pee-wee.
Shame on you!
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs...
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making.
Who's the lion? Who's the tin man? Who's Dorothy? Who's Toto? Who's the scarecrow in this little scenario that we find ourselves witnessing since yesterday afternoon? Do you know? Do you care? What is William Jefferson Clinton going to do if Russia plops an atomic bomb on New York City? What's he going to do if Russia plops an atomic bomb in the middle of their battle group in the Persian Gulf? What's William Jefferson Clinton going to do if Russia sends its MiGs to give Iraq air support? Against our Air Force, Naval Air Forces, and Marine Air Forces in the Middle East. What's he going to do if that happens? And if you think it's far-fetched, it's not at all, ladies and gentlemen. The situation Russia finds itself in today could look at this as their salvation to establish them once again as a superpower in the world, to cure their economic woes, to give their military something to do other than plot revolt against the government in Russia because they have received no pay. And because we have attacked Iraq when Iraq was threatening no one and has fired no shot at anyone, Russia would have the moral high ground. What do you think about all of this? Where do you think it's going? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that because now the Democrats have attacked Bob Livingston, the new speaker-elect of the House of Representatives, that the Republicans will back down from impeaching William Jefferson Clinton? Let's hear from you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. How are you?
I need you to talk a lot louder.
Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight? I tell you what, they've really drawn out all the weapons, haven't they? This country's in such a moral morass, it is just unbelievable. I believe the good Lord's going to do a little bit of punishing on all of us.
I don't think the good Lord's going to do anything.
You don't?
No, I think the good Lord is going to let us suffer the stupidity of ourselves. Why would he come down? Why would he have anything to do with us?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's going to allow us to just go ahead and rot from within like we're doing, like Sodom and Gomorrah did. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I tend to agree with you. I don't think God looking down from anywhere, no matter what your conception of God might be, even if it's just some force that exists in the universe, I don't think God would be proud of his creation here on this earth, nor would I think he would want anything to do with it.
Absolutely not. And I was hearing a little bit on the TV a while ago before you came on that this may have something to do. Remember Larry Flint here a few months ago offered $1 million to anybody who could produce some pictures or some kind of evidence of Republicans in awkward positions. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
And they were alluding that this may be it. And anybody, any moron out there who thinks this is coincidental to come out tonight and the Democrats didn't have anything to do with it?
There's no coincidence about it.
I'm sorry?
There's no coincidence about it.
None whatsoever. Just like there was no coincidence at the bombing yesterday. I mean, you know, anybody who wants to argue that point, I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you in my life. It goes for anybody who thinks that what happened yesterday was just, oh, Bill Clinton's just deciding, hey, well, something important's come up. You're nuts. And people who espouse that view, which evidently there's a lot of people out there that do, you know.
Oh, but don't you understand? We're kicking their ass, man. Oh, this is we're really getting them.
Yeah, at night when they're asleep and innocent women and children just like we have. And then when we have a terrorist attack on this country, which is inevitable, as you say. I mean, you know, whether it's legitimately done or manufactured by you know who.
What's the difference between blowing up the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City, regardless of how it was done or who did it, or in the middle of the night, by complete surprise, with no warning whatsoever, a 2,000-pound cruise missile comes through the roof of your home and blows you to smithereens?
I myself think there's no difference whatsoever, but you know, I'm in a minority opinion in this country.
Well, I don't think so.
And you know,
I think the attitude of the American people portrayed on the communist news networks is a lie, because I don't know anybody who thinks that this is all great and wonderful.
Well, we now have four branches of government. A lot of people don't tend to forget that. We have the judicial, executive, and legislative, and the media, just like certain other people did in history. The media has become a wing of the government. I don't know if you agree or disagree with me.
Oh, absolutely, I agree.
I've seen the seen it happen in the last 30 years, big time. And they are a powerful wing because you have this thing called the Baal altar, which everybody wants to watch all night long. And unfortunately, visual images really stir people through emotions. And you have all these Hollywood clowns, these drug addict homosexuals out there espousing their love for Bill Clinton. You have Alec Baldwin calling for Henry Hyde to be stoned on national TV the other night, and the audience applauding. If you said something like that to a Democrat, they'd have your ass arrested, would they not?
Oh, yes, they would, but that's not as far as they went. He said, this guy, Alec Baldwin, said that he should be drug out of his home, out of his bed, stoned, and they should drag his family out and stone them too. And the audience went berserk with applause and approval of what he said.
But it was just a joke.
No, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't a joke at all. And if they thought that they could get away with it, that's exactly what they would do.
He's not in jail, is he?
No, because he's on the side that decides what is politically correct and what is not.
Do you remember early
and,
on?
And who is politically correct and who is not?
Bill Clinton was first elected. I forget who it was. I believe it was Jesse Helms made a comment that if he comes to Fort Bragg or somewhere, he had to have some extra security. They actually had FBI people come out there and interrogate him. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah. It's okay for a Hollywood leftist pig to make comments about someone on the right, right?
Yeah. Oh, during a broadcast one night, somebody called in and said that Mrs. Carter, remember her?
No, I don't.
President Carter's wife?
Oh, Rosalind?
Rosalind Carter.
Right.
said that Rosalind Carter was coming to Phoenix.
Right.
And she was going to, I forget what she was going to do, but it was going to be something that was not in the best interest of Republican constitutional government. And I said, I think she ought to stay home. I don't think she should be coming to Phoenix and telling us how to run our state or what to do. Guess what? The Secret Service went to St. John's looking for me. Looking for me. I wasn't there.
Look, I'm not anti-this government. I'm anti-all governments because all governments use and abuse their people.
Well, I've got to disagree with you. We must have government to protect us from ourselves.
I agree with that, but I'm just saying all governments, the way they're instituted today, you know, hey, we have an enemy. You need to sign up when you're 18, or excuse me, we will forcibly induct you like I was in 1972 and tell you who your enemy is of the moment. You know?
Well, they can't forcibly induct you. You see, no one can ever force you to sign a contract or to take an oath. And if you refuse to sign the contract or take an oath, there's nothing they can do to you. They cannot put you in jail, cannot prosecute you.
Well, you know when you're 18, like I was in 72, and they tell you, you get that letter that says, you will come in or you will go to jail. I mean, you know.
They're right.
At 18.
They're right. You do have to go in.
Right.
But you do not have to sign the contract, and you do not have to take the oath.
I see where you're coming from.
You do have to go in.
You're still kind of scared. Well, I was every bit as afraid as Bill Clinton, no doubt, was. But, you know, I went.
Let me tell you what you were. You were an ignorant sheeple who did not understand the law, and so you went in when they told you to sign the contract, you did, and when they told you to raise your right hand and take the oath and take one step forward, you did that too.
Absolutely, absolutely, you know, and I don't hold anything against President Clinton for being scared, most of us were, but to go leave the country, protest against this country, then come back to be the commander-in-chief where he has the right to ask my son, whom I have a son, to go in one day to do something he wouldn't do, forget about it, dude. It ain't going to happen.
Well, I agree with you there. This man should not be sending our American forces into harm's way anywhere after what he did in dodging the draft and condemning military service.
To bomb Iraq like he's doing right near their holiest time, I mean, you know, let's get real here. To save his hide.
Did you know that during his first term in office, he actually degraded the military uniform of the United States and insulted the officer corps of the United States military by using officers as servants in the White House?
Yes, I do. I remember that.
Isn't that despicable? And now he's sending those officers into harm's way to take a chance on dying because he wants to save his presidency. This man is despicable.
He is
lower than the lowest thing on the face of this earth that I can think of. And that's at the bottom of the sea.
Have a good evening, Bill.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. During the judicial hearings in the House, it was brought up by one of the Democrats on the Judicial Committee that he had never misused his power by having the government go after somebody. That's a lie, and I'm living proof. He had my FBI file in the White House, and he ordered the FBI, FinCEN, and the Internal Revenue Service to investigate me and my family. All three investigations began on the same day by the order of the president. Good evening. You're on the air.
Man, I like this show.
And the reason he did it, ladies and gentlemen, is because he considers me to be the most dangerous radio host in America because I tell the truth. Who are you?
Jim from Virginia.
Hi, Jim.
I like this show. But I got to say, you know, when you just said something, and it really hit home. You know, it almost seemed too obvious that he is bombing just to save his presidency. I think you really hit it on the head when you said he was directed to bomb Iraq when he was visiting Israel.
Oh, yes.
And it just so happens that I'm almost thinking that this impeachment is a good cover for the Zionists wanting, or whomever, to bomb Iraq. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, not so much that it's...
Well, the impeachment came about to pull Bill Clinton back into line when he began to dictate to Israel what territory they were going to give up and when and how much and how many troops they were going to pull out, and forced the Prime Minister of Israel to shake hands with Yasser Arafat in front of television in the Rose Garden while the whole world was watching. What an unbelievable embarrassment.
And that's why, after listening to you just now, I think that the impeachment trial and everything was a nice cover to bomb Iraq. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, well, good, we'll bomb Iraq, and now the people will say, oh, he did it just to delay his impeachment, when, in fact, it was a nice cover so that they could...
Oh, you give the American sheeple too much credit. Way too much credit. They don't need that kind of deception.
You don't think so?
No, they believe whatever they're told on the communist news networks, no matter what it is.
But I think it was very interesting that the timing to bomb Iraq, I believe you're right. He was told to bomb Iraq, and boom, he did it. The other thing is Filegate, I think, is where they're getting all this information on Livingston and all these other people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's why there are warrants out for the arrest of me and my wife right now, because they were told to get me no matter what it takes and shut me up and get me off the air. They did not understand that I wasn't going to cooperate in their little scheme.
Well, can you believe
that? And they did not understand, nor did they have any knowledge in their wildest dreams that I know what the law really says. And they were not guilty of any crimes.
That's amazing. I mean, the fact that the president was able to get everybody's file that he wanted, and now they're using it against people. I'm going to assume they... I can't imagine what else they'd be doing with these files, but if they wanted information on you or Hyde or Livingston, and now they're using it against them. And, I mean, nobody's doing anything. What's the star?
That's because Zionism has a stranglehold up on Washington, D.C. There's no doubt about it. William Sessions, when he was the director of the FBI,
yes,
he held a press conference. I was watching on CNN when he had that press conference. Guess what he said at the press conference?
What's that?
He said that there is a Jewish underground in the United States of America that is directly threatening the national security.
Sessions said that?
Sessions said that. He said it on television. Yeah. I watched it. It was a press conference.
The
next time we saw Sessions, his arm was in a sling, it had been broken, and he was announcing his resignation as director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Guess who replaced him?
Are you serious? His arm was broken?
His arm was broken. It was in a sling, yes.
And he
was announcing his resignation as director of the FBI.
Well, I knew they put a Jewish guy in there, Free.
Free. And then Free turned over any and all FBI records that the White House demanded.
This is incredible.
It's not incredible. It's the truth, and it was done right in front of the American people, right under their nose, publicly, without even anybody saying a thing except for people like me.
How about it? I tell you, it's true.
I did a whole show on that.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg, I suspect.
Oh, it's just a little bitty tip of the iceberg.
So this ADL is really a spy network, I guess.
The ADL is exactly a spy network. They were caught in California.
Yeah, I think one of your earlier shows had mentioned that.
And the Attorney General of the state of California was prosecuting them, and then all of a sudden, what happened?
I guess you dropped it.
The whole thing disappeared.
I can't believe this thing about... I mean, yes, I shouldn't say him. So Sessions' arm was broken, and he was resigning. Amazing. Well, one last thing, I just had a question. You said the officers were used as servants. Do you mean that they were actually...
Yes, this was on the front page of the newspapers. How did you miss that?
Well, I don't have the television to read newspapers anymore. That's kind of bad. But you're saying that they were waiting on tables, like a waiter.
Waiting on tables, carrying trays with drinks.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Serving food.
I do look at the front page in the comics, and I must have missed it that time, but there's so much of this going on. I'm glad your show's here is all I can say. I pick up the important things.
Well, thank you.
And I'd like to thank you for your show. And by the way, I started using that Dr. Wallach stuff. I finally got it about 2 days ago. In about a month or two, I'll let you know what the results.
Okay. Did you send in and get your stuff from us?
Yeah. So.
Huh?
Yes.
You did?
Yes, so everything's
How did you, and you're taking it already?
I just came yesterday.
Just, what came?
I ordered it.
From where? If you didn't order it through us, you're not supporting this broadcast.
Yes, I did. In other words,
you couldn't have.
And I ordered it,
You couldn't have. Because you can't order anything through us until you get the information pack from us, and you fill out the associate application, and send it back to us, and we send it in. So you ordered it from somebody else. Who did you order it from?
One of the numbers that was given off, I'm pretty sure that I looked it up on the internet and called in.
Ah, so you're not supporting the broadcast. You ordered it from someplace off the internet.
Give me. Are you? Oh, I'm sorry about that. You're not on the internet. I thought it was all under the same thing.
No.
Oh, I'm an idiot. What is the number so I can see about changing that then?
1-888-403-2405. 1-888-403-2405. Now, I don't care if you get it from somewhere else, but if you want to support this broadcast, you need to do it through us.
Absolutely.
Because no matter where you get it from, somebody, whoever you're purchasing it from, is making whatever profit there is in that little sale.
Sorry about that, because I looked at, I heard you broadcast. I said, this is great. I looked it up on the internet and then just called in through that. Oh, boy. Never mind. I'm going to change this. I apologize about that. Because
well, you don't need to apologize because you don't have to do anything through us. I just thought that if you are a listener who wants to support the broadcast,
exactly
that
right.
You might want to know how to do that.
That's exactly right, and that's what I'm apologizing for. Let me get off of this phone here. I feel bad now.
I don't feel bad.
Well, I do because I think it's important that your broadcast be supported.
Well, I think it's important that you're getting your health back together. That's what's really important. And if you can do it by, you know, supporting this broadcast along with it, then that's a plus for everybody. But it's more important that you get healthy than it is supporting this broadcast.
Okay, because I tell you, when I called up the number, I said I got it. You know, I said I got it from hour at a time, and obviously that.
They don't care about that. They didn't even say anything about that. They just signed you right up, right?
But yes.
Yeah. You see? That's called greed.
Oh, God.
Whereas I tell you, you're welcome to go anywhere that you want to go, but if you want to support this broadcast, you should do it through us. They don't tell you that. They just.
My intention, since you are who I heard about this through.
And by the way, whoever you signed up with was not Dr. Wallach. It was some page owned by some associate who is doing business with Dr. Wallach, just as we are, on the internet. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Well, it won't be me. It will be the broadcast.
And that's what I mean, the broadcast.
And that's a non-profit thing. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. All we do, folks, is try to just make enough to pay for everything. You have no idea what the expenses are of broadcasting. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello, Matt.
Audio good?
Yeah.
Let's just hope Willie doesn't get the Korean flu as well, if you know what I mean.
Well, he might get that too. I mean, he's really making a lot of people very angry. He's uniting the entire communist world and against him.
In addition to hardcore commies, also just the, you know, the more or less drift with the wind third world countries too. I mean, these poor countries, they see this rich country bombing hell out of some poor country.
And they don't like it. Just like, you know, most Americans don't like it. Most Americans usually will root for the underdog. And if Iraq hadn't really fired at anybody or hurt anybody, you'll find that if you sit down with somebody and they got a microphone under their nose and they know they're on the Communist News Network and everybody's watching them, they'll say what they're expected to say. But you sit down with them when that microphone and that camera's gone and ask them what they really think, and they're going to tell you this is a bunch of crap.
Well, I've been hanging with some relatives on vacation, and they're older, and, you know, they're extremely law-abiding, and, you know, and they are listeners of CNN and readers of, you know, the New York Times or the Atlanta Constitution or you name one. And even they, and I'll quote one tonight, said, I think Clinton is mentally disturbed, unquote. Even people, you know, even mainstream people, people that we would normally refer to as sheep or sleepers, are beginning to get worried about Clinton.
Yeah. Well, it becomes obvious after a while.
You look at his face on television over these, you know, over this past week, it's just like you're looking at another person.
Oh, yeah. It's like I said at the beginning of the broadcast. It looks like somebody just smacked him right between the eyes with a 2x4.
Well, I really shouldn't chuckle about it because, you know, it's very serious and very dangerous.
Yes, it is.
That's what people appreciate yet, but I think within the next week or two, they may come to appreciate it.
Yes, they may.
Well, gonna turn it loose, fella.
Thank you.
Good. Merry Christmas to you and yours, okay?
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Believe me, Missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the feminine frame. But I could show my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the name. I'm afraid there's no denying, I'm just a dandelion, a fate I don't deserve. I'd be brave as a blizzard, I'd be gentle as a lizard, I'd be clever as a kitten.
If the wizard is the wizard who will serve,
then I'm sure to get a brain, a heart,
a home,
the name.
Oh, wouldn't it be nice if the American people got the noise? Where's your noise, folks? Have you been writing and calling and faxing and calling every radio talk show host and sending letters and email and faxing your congressmen and senators in the White House? You should be. You should be every moment. Forget about everything else until this crisis is over. Every single moment you need to be doing it. You must be doing it. Across America and around the world, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening. You're on the air.
Paul from Ohio.
Hello, Paul.
Yeah, are you familiar with David Hackworth, Colonel David Hackworth?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I guess I was looking at his website today, and he was saying that we should forget impeachment because we've got North Korea and Colombia and South America getting ready to fall and Yugoslavia. And I guess he wrote this before the Iraq thing. Do you have any views on that, on his view?
Yeah, his view is bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Absolute bullshit. This man is guilty of felonies, high crimes.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen to you if you lied to a grand jury?
They'd probably haul my butt away. Right?
You better believe it. So what makes him so special?
I don't know. And you
should be questioning what kind of agenda Hackworth is serving.
Yeah.
I can tell you from what he's written and what he's done in the past that he is certainly not on the side of constitutional Republican government. As it was established by the Founding Fathers. I can assure you of that.
Say this thing does, heat up a little more in Iraq, or say, like, something happens in Colombia, and they start, building up a lot more like it did in Vietnam, and say we get rid of Clinton, and we got Igor in charge. What do you think? How do you think we'll ride that out?
Gore is worse than Clinton. But nevertheless, you cannot make a deal with the devil. You cannot say Clinton's the lesser of two evils, so we can't impeach him. That's right. Still a deal with the devil. We must do what is right no matter what. Yeah. Al Gore brings with him his own crimes. He's guilty of some major felonies. And we may have to have two or three impeachments right in a row to send a message to the scum-sucking, puke-faced, lying subversives in this country who want to destroy this government from within in order to straighten out Washington, D.C.
Yeah. All right, I'll let someone else on.
Well, thanks for your call. And those were important questions, and I'm glad I had a chance to address them. 520-333-4578. Is the answer. Don't get enamored with leadership and the so-called patriot community, because I'm going to tell you right now, most of the so-called leaders in your so-called patriot community are not patriots at all. They're serving the Hegelian dialectic to serve up lies and disinformation and keep you spinning around in little cul-de-sacs, chasing your own tail, so you can never identify the true enemy, and what's even worse, you can never do anything about it. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Yes?
I have a question I'd like to ask you.
Sway power and threat to so-called world peace in the Middle East. Hold on, you step out.
I was having a little problem there with the recording apparatus, and I don't want to lose a moment of this broadcast.
Oh, I don't want you to either.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, is this not true that Saddam Hussein is and connected as a partner in this oil business? And it seems to me, could it be that somehow they're all in bed together because of oil?
I don't know if it's necessarily because of oil. I think oil has a lot to do with it, but I think one world government is the absolute underlying factor in all of this. They had to create somebody who was so bad and so mean that they could scare the entire world with this person. And if you go back and you look at Hal Lindsey's tape, The Late Great Planet Earth, you'll see that even before Saddam Hussein became the boogeyman, they were preparing the world to look at him as the boogeyman because they've got Saddam Hussein portrayed in that video as the Antichrist.
Yeah,
in his Iraqi uniform, wearing his beret, it is Saddam Hussein. There is no doubt about that whatsoever. Then the United States, through major corporations and the intelligence community, in particular the Central Intelligence Agency, funneled technology and the means and equipment for him to be able to manufacture weapons of mass destruction, atomic bombs, chemical warfare, and biological warfare. This all came out in the congressional hearings. It has been available for the public to see for years.
Also, puzzles me is that this Heinz Kissinger seems to be like a little devil behind all these situations that arise, and could it be coming from the city of London?
Absolutely. The Kissinger London connection was exposed many years ago. It's a well-known fact in the intelligence community. We all knew it in the Office of Naval Intelligence that Henry Kissinger was not operating ever in the best interest of the United States of America, but was operating, in fact, as a double agent for MI6 and the KGB.
So how come, Mr. Cooper, that Clinton is allowed, and as we know, if anyone with an ounce of brains knows that not one single person could have control of this world unless he was duly supported. Is that not correct?
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you said.
Clinton does take orders.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Anybody who believes that some Arkansas cracker who could just come out of the backwoods, so to speak,
right.
And I'm not trying to insult the people in Arkansas, but if you look at the history of William Jefferson Clinton, this guy is no great statesman. He doesn't have any great education. He is not presidential material, never was, never can be, never will be, and is not. He was put there by some very, very powerful interests, and it is those interests who dictate what is done from the White House.
Exactly. I have one more question. Is this a prelude to become one world government?
Absolutely.
Okay, and I appreciate you, Mr. Cooper. Thank you.
Thank you. And Merry Christmas. I hope we get to have a Merry Christmas. This could really get very, very ugly. And it could do it, you know, really quick, folks. But the American people have to wake up, and they have to do what is right. Nobody else can do that.
Your Majesty, if you're a king, you wouldn't be afraid of anything?
Not nobody. Not no-how.
Not even a rhinoceros?
Impossible.
How about a hippopotamus?
Why, I'd trash him from top to bottom.
Supposing you met an elephant?
I'd wrap him up in cellophane.
What if it were a brontosaurus?
I'd show him who was king of the forest. How? Courage. What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in ape cups? What have they got that I ain't got?
Courage.
You could say that again. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Betty from Raleigh.
Hi, Betty.
Hi. I'm one of your strongest supporters, I think. And I was working last night, and my best friend was listening and said something about Gary North, and I wondered if you would repeat to me what you know about Gary North?
He's dead.
When did he die?
Quite a while ago. He's right. Dead. Is somebody putting out information under his signature? Because he's dead. He died a natural death. He was an old man. He's dead.
How long ago?
Well, it had to be over a year ago.
Well,
Gary North is dead.
Gary North is dead.
Yes, he's dead.
And what faction did he represent?
Gary North was the 33rd degree Freemason of the Southern Jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. That is not our side, in case you were guessing.
And where, can you give me any validation for what you're saying? I mean, you know,
he admitted it.
He
admitted it. He published it in his own material.
You can't give me any better.
All I can tell.
I have everything he's written.
He admitted it. He was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite.
You're saying he wrote it down?
You cannot be a 33rd degree Freemason unless you subscribe to the Luciferian philosophy.
Okay. Well, I'm
really telling you that he admitted it publicly.
I really would suggest that maybe the validation of those two things is something that would be worthwhile.
He admitted it publicly. He admitted it in his own... Listen to me. He admitted it publicly. He wrote about it in his own writings, and he said that he had resigned from the lodge. That's absolute baloney. You don't become a 30... Will you let me finish, please? You don't become a 33rd degree Freemason and resign from the lodge.
I don't believe he's dead.
He is dead. His estate wrote to me.
I get an email, you know, every day.
Lady, will you listen to me?
Yes.
When he died, his estate wrote to me, asking for a copy of the book where I had published some of his material. In my book, Behold a Pale Horse, they told me that he had died, and they wanted the material for validation of his writings in his estate.
Okay, well, I'll go on and I'll try and forward to you. Yeah, I'll try and forward to you the validation that I think it needs to be corrected.
I think that somebody, maybe his wife, is still putting out material under his name because it may be the only source of income that the family has ever had.
Well,
and I think that's what you'd better consider.
Yeah, well, I'll check it and get some information to you.
Go ahead. Get all the information you want to me. I've already got it. I already know. He's dead. You don't have to believe it. No, I'm telling you, I have already done the investigation. Gary North is dead. Dead.
Okay, unless it can be proved to you elsewhere. Is somebody else, you think?
Pardon?
Is somebody else representing him now?
Yes.
As though he is not dead.
That's what I think, exactly what I think is happening.
Oh, okay, well, we'll check that out.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, I'm not going to lie to you. His estate contacted me. They told me that he was dead. They sent me a letter, wanted a copy of my book, Behold a Pale Horse, because I had published a part of his information in the book. And they wanted that for the estate, for the validation of where he had been published and what work he had done, and all of that kind of stuff is what they told me. Okay? So you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. It's like I've always told you. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. Now, if you can prove to me, and I mean absolutely prove to me that he's not dead, I'll come on the air and I'll say, I was mistaken. Gary North is not dead. But until you can do that, I already have sufficient information here that tells me that Gary North is dead. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill?
Yes.
Just Matt here again. You're not mistaken, Nord Davis and Gary North here.
Pardon?
You're not crossing Nord Davis and Gary North.
Oh, you know what? I may be doing that.
You are doing that.
It's Nord Davis.
I gotcha.
Well, I'm glad that you did, because I don't like being wrong. It is Nord Davis who died, and I sincerely apologize to the last caller.
Buddy, by the way, you'll be pleased to know that Gary North was recently on Art Bell's show.
Oh, he was? What? It doesn't say much for him.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, really.
But yes, I agree
is dead.
Like dead and buried. And yeah. That stuff in your book is North Point Team's
yes.
Real, if ever I saw it. But Gary North is evidently still among the living, getting on the Art Bell show, selling his newsletter, and doing whatever else he does. One other thing about Sessions, his arm was broken by a fall, and I saw the fall on national television. He did not get jumped by from the CIA or anything. Not that you said that. Or
no, anything. I did not say that.
People will take licenses, we both know. He fell, he tripped on a sidewalk and went ass over tea kettle, and that's how the arm got broken, and I saw it happen. Just for folks who are listening out there.
Okay. I'm glad that you called. It was Nord Davis, and I sincerely apologize to the last caller.
Nord Davis up in Topton, North Carolina, with the North Point teams and a big buddy of Bobo Greitz and big
yes.
promoter of the Greitz presidential campaign.
British Israelism, 33rd degree
and,
Freemason of the Scottish Rite, the New World Order, Hegelian dialectic. No, he's gone.
Later, alligator.
Oh, wait, tell us a little bit about Gary North.
Well, when I'm just, I don't know a lot about him. He tends to put out news. He's an economics guy, you know, the market's going to blow up. He has a book out called Negatrends, for example. The market's going to blow up, you know, Y2K is going to get us, yada, 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 you know, it's that sort of thing. Newsletter, 200 a year or whatever, you know, the usual.
Yeah.
That's basically what Gary North is about, and evidently he is amongst the living and was heard on
Art Bell
within the past 2 or 3 weeks by one of my buds. So that's where we stand.
Okay.
And as for his... As for his views on race, religion, politics, ask him, don't ask me.
Okay. Thank
Later,
you.
Alligator.
I'm glad he called. I don't like to be wrong, but every once in a while, I am wrong, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I keep telling you, listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. That is absolutely correct. It's Nord Davis, and what confused me was that he promoted the North Point teams. And Nord Davis is the one who died, who was the 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite, who was acting as the Hegelian dialectic against constitutional Republican government. Even though he pretended to be for it, he absolutely was not. He put out a plethora of disinformation and lies all over the place. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, I'm glad you were, because if the other caller hadn't have called, then I would have, you know, really been wrong tonight, and I don't like to be wrong.
Excuse me. I was wondering if you were referring to Gary Allen of the Birch Society.
No.
You think it was Nord Davis?
Oh, absolutely it was Nord Davis, yes.
Okay. You were sure it was Gary North, too?
No, it was the North Point team thing that got me confused.
Okay.
It was Nord Davis.
All right.
No doubt about it whatsoever.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks for calling. Whenever I make a mistake, folks, please correct me. If not on the air, send me a letter or call me the next day or something, because it's absolutely important that we're doing the right thing here, and I'm well known for that. But every once in a while, I will make a mistake. I will never, ever forget in my life that one night I did an entire broadcast on Benjamin Franklin. I've researched Benjamin Franklin. I have more biographies of him and papers and copies of letters that he wrote and the history in which he was involved, and also of Thomas Jefferson. And I have read all of it. I have studied their lives probably as much as anybody alive. And one night I did a broadcast talking about the life of Benjamin Franklin. And every time I was saying something Oh, it was incredible. I've got to tell you, folks, that, you know, every single time that I meant to say, well, that's wrong, see? Now I'm doing it again. And I don't know why I do this. I was talking about Thomas Jefferson and how he had written his own Bible. And every time I meant to say Thomas Jefferson, I said Benjamin Franklin throughout the broadcast. And what was so bad about it is nobody in the listening audience caught the mistake. I was so embarrassed over that. I'm still embarrassed over that to this day. And as you just heard, I started to do it again. Something about their two lives gets me mixed up when I go to talk about them as to which one is which. And I don't know why that is, because their lives are so different and opposite, even though they were fighting for the same cause. And what I was talking about that night was Thomas Jefferson's involvement with the Illuminati and the fact that he defended Adam Weishaupt and his ideas and his secret society, and the fact that he had literally torn up the accepted King James Version of the Christian Bible and wrote his own Bible and had said publicly that he didn't believe that such a God could exist. And all through the broadcast, every time I meant to say Thomas Jefferson, I said Benjamin Franklin. And so, from time to time, I make a mistake. And sometimes it's a major mistake. And I welcome correction. I ask for it. I've asked for it over and over and over again. And if you can prove it, or make me come to believe and understand that it's wrong, then I'll get on the air and I will correct it. Where are we?
Come forward! The great and powerful Oz knows why you have come. Step forward, King Man! You dare to come to me for a heart, do you? You clinking, clanking, clattering collection of collisioners, just... And you, scarecrow, have the effrontery to ask for a brain, you billowing bale of bovine fodder!
Yes, Your Honor, I mean, Your Excellency, your wizardry.
Enough! And you, lion! Well?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, frightening him like that when it came to you for help!
Silence, whippersnapper! The beneficent Oz has every intention of granting your request.
What do you say? What do you say?
But first, you must prove yourselves worthy by performing a very small task. Bring me the broomstick of the Witch of the West.
But if we do that, we'd have to kill her together.
Bring me her broomstick, and I'll grant your request. Now go.
But what if she kills us first?
I said no!
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. I've got a very interesting question. Iraq is the other side of Africa. How in the world are they a threat to our national security?
I don't know what you mean by the other side of Africa.
I'm looking at a map.
Are you sure Iraq is on the continent of Africa?
No. They're what would you call it? To the east of Africa?
There you go. Now you're talking.
Okay.
They're on the Persian Gulf.
Exactly. How can they threaten us?
They can't. They've never been a threat to us. They've never threatened us. In fact, they were our ally. We built Iraq. We put Saddam Hussein in power. We armed him. We gave him airplanes. We gave him ammunition. We gave him technology and chemicals. And we even gave him the cultures to manufacture biological warfare. Came from the United States. They had held hearings on this. And this was all exposed in Congress. We made this man what he was because he was our ally and he was used by the Central Intelligence Agency in a war with Iran when we considered Iran to be our greatest enemy.
And Bill Clinton's out there telling us that he is protecting us from Saddam Hussein.
From us, if you want to know the truth. We created this guy.
Yeah.
He are us. Remember when Pogo, I don't know if you ever read Pogo. It was a cartoon that appeared in the Sunday papers.
Well,
this was a long time ago. I remember when I was a boy, I read Pogo. And one day, him and Churchy and all the little creatures in the swamp got in this little P-Row boat and went off into the swamp in search of the enemy. Well, they didn't even know if there was an enemy. There wasn't any war. Nobody had hurt them. They just went off looking for the enemy. And then for several weeks, you know, the comic strip followed the antics of the people who were left behind in the little swamp community. And then one day, Pogo and Churchy and all the guys who had, the little animals, Churchy was a turtle and Pogo was a possum, and there were all these little animals. Well, they came back from their expedition. And when they landed their little P-Row on the beach, all the people came down to greet them. And when Pogo stepped off the boat, he raised his sword and he said, "I have found the enemy. And they are us."
I've heard that.
That was one of the most profound statements I've ever seen in my life.
I was glad to hear about Nord Davis. Not Nord Davis.
Gary Nord.
Nord.
Nord Davis died.
Nord Davis, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely he was.
Okay.
I'm very sorry, and I apologize once again that I got him mixed up with Gary North. I certainly had no intention of doing so.
You're guilty of being human.
Yeah, I try to tell people that. They try to put me up on pedestals and hold me to these high expectations, but most people who listen to this broadcast don't understand that I'm no different than any of you out there. I just know a little bit more because I've worked my butt off to learn it. And there is no difference whatsoever. If you came and spent 3 days with this family, you would find nothing extraordinarily out of the ordinary from your own family.
Of course not. You know, you're not a god, and you let us know that you're not a god.
Well, unfortunately, most people don't do that. And it's also unfortunate that even though I do, there are some people in the audience who don't believe it. They want me to be a god.
We do.
That's how we get ditto heads in Rush Limbaugh's audience.
I was a ditto head. Several years ago, I just absolutely worshipped Rush Limbaugh until I read your book and finally started to wake up and realize, oh dear, something's wrong here. And then started looking into congressional record and presidential executive orders and realized
Rush wasn't telling you the truth.
No.
But he knew what the truth was.
Yes. He is in David's pocketbook.
Yep. Better believe it.
Okay, I'm all done.
Well, thank you for calling. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks, Bill.
Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number.
Take your army to the haunted forest and bring me that girl and her dog. Do what you like with the others, but I want her alive and unharmed.
They'll give you no trouble, I promise you that. And send them an insect on ahead to take the fight out. Take better care of those ruby tickers. I want those most of all. Now die! Die!
They sure knocked the stuffing out of you, didn't they?
Don't stand there talking. Put me together. We've got to find Dorothy.
What a nice little dog. And you, my dear. What an unexpected attention. It's so kind of you to visit me in my loneliness. All in good time, my little pretty. All in good time.
Oh, please give me back my dog.
Certainly, certainly. When you give me those slippers.
But the good witch of the north told me not to.
Very well. Throw that basket to the river and drown it.
No, no, no. You can have your own slippers, but give me that puddle.
That's the good little girl. I knew you'd see reason.
Can I still have my dog?
No, fool that I am. I should remember. Those slippers will never come off as long as you're alive. But that's not what worried me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
Than you will. Blast you on your dog. You've been more trouble to me than you're worth. One way or another. But it'll soon be over now. Look. There's Pluto. Where'd he come from? Why? Don't you see? He's coming to take it to Dorothy. Come on, fella. I hope my strength holds out.
I hope your tail holds out. Oh.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a question for you tonight.
I need you to talk a lot louder.
How's that?
Oh, that's a little better. Just talk as loud as you can right into the telephone.
Okay. I have a question about Nort Davis, if you can help me.
Okay.
First of all, I really never knew who he was, and I've been researching just about everything under the sun that people sent me, and just basically for my own answers to the questions about what's going on in the government. But I got a pamphlet from, it was Nort Davis Jr., would that be the same? same fellow?
Yes.
And it was detailed, pretty good detail, a lot of history and things in there. And I'm wondering if a man's for the New World Order and Freemasonry, why would he have such helpful, detailed information?
Well, in the first place, have you ever researched that detailed information to see if it's true?
Well, a lot of it I researched, and it come up okay. There's a few things, for instance, some of the taxes and things like
that. I need you to talk a lot louder.
Okay, some of the income tax laws and things like that came up a blank, but most of this stuff was... For instance, I have a pamphlet here that came out some time ago called Sui Juris. Does that make any sense to you?
Sui Juris.
Yes. And there's a lot of other things that's not pertaining to this man, but what would you feel about his writings then?
Have you been listening to this broadcast for very long?
No, I haven't. As a matter of fact, I just...
That's your problem. I have covered over the last, since 1992... And we're going into 1999, so that's about 7 years. I have covered all of this information thoroughly. If you don't understand the method of subversion of a nation by the Socialist Internationale and Communist forces, and those who call themselves the Illuminati are the Illuminated Ones or the Brotherhood of Man, and if you have not studied Marx, Kant, and Hegel, there's no way that you're going to understand why or how he did what he did and can still be on the other side in a 2 or 3 minute phone call. It just can't be done. It's taken me many, many years of study and many, many hours of broadcasting to reveal that. But I would recommend that if you're really seriously interested, that you write us a letter and ask for our information pack of the hour of the time, and then order the Mystery Babylon series, and that will explain everything to you in more detail than you ever want to know.
Oh, that would be great. All I need would be the address.
The address is the hour of the time. You got a pen and paper?
Yes.
The hour of the time, in care of 98.5 FM, P.O. Box 940, that's P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, that's Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Once again, 85925.
Okay.
You got it?
Thank you.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. The great number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Good to speak to you. I've been following your program for some years now.
Thank you, but I need you to talk a lot louder. And I would like to address the entire radio audience. Why is it that I have to say this every time somebody calls? And don't take it personally, because everybody does it. Please, put the receiver right in front of your mouth and talk loud.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay, good.
I'd like three things to discuss here.
Okay.
Your comments on. Number one, I'd like to thank the Wizard of Oz trucks.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting. I heard told that if you play the Wizard of Oz and play the Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, it's synchronous.
Yes, it is. Now, I need you to do something else.
Yes, sir.
Put the phone in front of your mouth, not against your mouth.
Sir? Okay, sir.
Okay. Now talk. That's much better.
Thank you. Have you, and I'm Benjamin Franklin?
Yes.
I heard someplace that when he was in London, he stayed in a house in London.
Yes, he did.
And they excavated... or did some digging in the house, and they found bodies there, and they're thinking that he was involved in some kind of cult thing. You know anything about that?
I have no idea about his involvement in any cult thing. I know he was the grandmaster of the Lodge of Nine Muses in France. I know that he was a Freemason for most of his life. and that he was involved in occult practices and the Luciferian philosophy. But other than that, I don't know about any cult or any bodies that have been dug up or anything like that.
I couldn't find anything on the web in the archaeology pages on it, so I can't confirm or anything on that.
Well, I suggest first, before you believe that there were bodies found in the house, under the house where he lived, that you take the steps to make the proper factual verification of that. And also understand that when he went to live in that house had been there for many, many years, maybe even a couple of hundred years, and he was just a boarder.
Well, I think they said they dated it to the time he was staying there.
You mean the death of the people that they dug up?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. And like I said, you just told me that you don't know either, so you need to verify those facts.
That's right.
And if you find any verification, I'd be interested in your sending me copies.
Yeah, I'm still looking, sir.
Okay.
And another thing on Richard Hoagland and Peter Gersten, they've been mentioning lately about a fake landing of extraterrestrials.
There was no landing. There was no fake landing. There was no weather anomaly over any place called Mount Turret in Arizona. None of it is true. It's all baloney.
Well,
I live here. I've checked out every bit of it.
I thought you had mentioned once in your book or on the air that there may be one.
There may be one. Yes, it's on my website. Read Majesty 12.
Yes, sir, I have. I just thought that was an interesting that they're saying what you have said.
Well, they're not saying what I have said.
Not exactly.
If you go back and look at what all that they have said over the years, that they never said what I have said until I pinned them for hoaxers and frauds. And then they started saying what I have said.
I understand. I'd like to thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Goodbye. Peter Gersten, Richard Hoagland, and Art Bell are hoaxers, frauds. They promote hoaxes. They misguide and mislead the sheeple. They promote hysteria. They tell big, 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 big lies. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I think you're good in Colorado, too. Two things. First is I'm a radio engineer.
Uh-huh.
And what we do as a sneaky trick is we turn the phone, the person on my end of the phone, we turn the volume down, feeding them, and they tend to talk louder.
Well, we can't do that because we don't have the money to buy that kind of equipment. What you're listening to is a speakerphone just below my microphone.
Okay. Make sure what I do for you on that. Anyway, number two is thoroughly appreciate you. And I learned a lot. And I personally agree with you about the flying saucers and everything else you said, including the Van Allen radiation. I've felt that way for a long time. It's just nice to hear somebody say it. The reason I call is I'm gonna beg a favor.
What's that?
I would like your opinion. It's just my viewpoint that this Y2K thing is somebody's big excuse. And I used to be a COBOL programmer back in college before I went to service.
Well, you're on the right track. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, we used 4-digit date codes for the year. And when I got back from Vietnam, I spent 4 wonderful years over there. Great place. Made a lot of money. But I owned a hardware store, actually. But when I got back, I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, you know what happened in 68 when you were there? What?
That's pretty funny.
Space. Here they just took 2 digits. I said, why? He said, I don't know, but it came down. If you're going to do business with the government, you had to do that. And I think this whole thing's just a crock.
Well, it is. You're absolutely correct. You're right.
Yeah.
And I've said it over and over again. Tell me about your hardware store.
Well, it was, you know how it is.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You don't have to expose yourself on international shortwave radio.
No, but the nice thing about it was, boy, those t-shirts trade out good. I didn't say that, though.
I know.
The other thing was, it just bothers me that, well, like the San Francisco power outage. And I used to do electrical stuff, working with electric companies. And that's how I learned to do my solar power. And I cannot see guys with substations forgetting to leave the ground wires on. But if they did, and I don't think they would, because they'd be scared to death if they laid those things on.
Sure they would.
I can't see it knocking out your generating stations. But it dawned on me, and I'm talking with my kids, who are late 20s.
Children. Kids are goats.
Yeah.
You don't have goats in your family, do you?
No, no. Well, maybe my son-in-law. No, my children. You're correct. Thank you. But it just struck us funny that, you know, he said, gee, Dad, if it was a Y2K-related problem, and they admitted it, folks might panic.
How could it be a Y2K problem when the date problem does not manifest until 1999 rolls over into the year 2000 and computers interpret it as 1900?
I don't mean it was an actual Y2K failure, but it could have been something being caused by them.
No. I didn't say that you did. It sounded to me like the people who were talking to you did.
Oh, my children.
Yeah. Is that what they were trying to say?
No.
That it was a Y2K problem, but they couldn't admit it?
They thought they were, meaning it was related to. They don't think any more of the Y2K than I do.
Well, how could it even be related to it until the year 2000?
Well, after I had heard about this, I heard somewhere recently, now it's unverified as always, you know, somebody said they have heard. I hate to bring all this up, but if it was what I thought.
We don't promote rumor on this show. Don't even go into it.
Good point.
If somebody else heard,
it was highly unlikely, and it sounded like a perfect excuse. The reason sounded like a perfect excuse to cover something up, but it didn't make sense to me what they said.
Well, I don't know. We don't speculate here. We don't do those kinds of things in the kind of detail that you're trying to do. I have no idea what caused the San Francisco power outage, nor whether they told the truth about it. But I do know one thing. It had absolutely nothing to do with Y2K. That I know.
Okay. I can agree with that.
Okay.
I get a lot of common sense out of listening to you. Bring you back down to earth a lot.
Well, I've got to bring a lot of people back down to earth.
No, I hope so.
It's human nature to take flights of fancy when we should not be doing that.
Yes, that's true. Tell you what, I'll drop you an email, by the way. I have a little phone device. I think it was still out there.
Great.
Up in the mail to you.
Wonderful. That would be great.
It's an overgainer, but they're totally workable.
Okay.
Hope it helps.
Thank you.
Thank you for being there.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
What's that? It's the castle of the Wicked Witch. Dorothy's in that awful place.
Oh, I hate to think of her in there. We've got to get her out.
Don't cry now. We haven't got the oil can with us, and we've been squeaking enough as it is.
Why have you come back?
Please, sir, we've done what you told us. We brought you the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. We melted her.
Ah, you liquidated her, eh? Very resourceful.
Yes, sir. So we'd like you to keep your promise, if you please, sir.
Not so fast! Not so fast! I'll have to give the matter a little thought. Go away and come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, but I want to go home now.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
The great Oz has spoken.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are?
I don't
believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
Well, what about the heart that you promised Tin Man? Well, and the courage that you promised Cowardly Lion?
Well, I'm Scarecrow. Okay. Why, anybody can have a brain. That's a very mediocre commodity. Back where I come from, we have universities, seats of great learning, where men go to become great thinkers. And when they come out, they think deep thoughts, and with no more brains than you have. But they have one thing you haven't got, a diploma. Therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Universitatis Comitiatum e Pluribus Unum, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Ph.D.
Ph.D.?
Doctor of Psychology.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Well, you can. As for you, my fine friend, you're a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate delusion that simply because you run away from danger, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom. Back where I come from, there we have men who are called heroes. Once a year, they take their fortitude out of mothballs and parade it down the main street of the city. And they have no more courage than you have. But they have one thing that you haven't got. A medal. Therefore, for meritorious conduct, extraordinary valor, conspicuous bravery against wicked witches, I award you the Triple Cross. You are now a member of the Legion of Courage.
Shucks, folks, I'm speechless.
As for you, my galvanized friend, you want a heart. You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable.
But I still want one.
Back where I come from, there are men who do nothing all day but good deeds. They are called good deed doers. And their hearts are no bigger than yours. But they have one thing you haven't got, a testimonial. Therefore, in consideration of your kindness, I take pleasure at this time in presenting you with a small token of our esteem and affection. And remember, my sentimental friend, that a heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others.
Oh, it ticks! Look, it ticks!
Read what my medal says. Courage. Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth?
Oh, they're all wonderful.
Hey, what about Dorothy?
Yes, how about Dorothy?
Yeah, Dorothy next.
I don't think there's anything in that black bag for me.
Well, you forced me into a cataclysmic decision. The only way to get Dorothy back to Kansas is for me to take her there myself.
Oh, will you? Could you? Oh, but are you a clever enough wizard to manage it?
Child, you cut me to the quick. I'm an old Kansas man myself, born and bred in the heart of the western wilderness.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been honored. Right after we take this call, we'll tell you what you've been honored with. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill, this is Mitch.
Could you talk a lot louder, please?
Okay, how's about now?
Oh, that's a little better. Are you on a Rome phone or something?
Okay, yeah, I guess so. I'm going to shout as loud as I can.
All right.
I'm a little bit curious about something.
Sure.
Earlier in the program, were you suggesting that Bill Clinton was having illusions of grandeur when he embarrassed Menachem Begin and caused the problem to start with Lewinsky?
Oh, would I say something like that? Would I dare? Absolutely he was.
Yeah, okay. That clarifies it then. That's what I drew from there.
He actually thought that he had some power on his own.
Yeah, okay.
Which he doesn't have.
Yeah, that's about right, because if he's involved, which he is, with the same people that he's involved with, then that would be a real brain scrambler if he did it by instruction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he didn't. He didn't do that by instruction. He embarrassed them on his own accord, and he should never have done that.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And guess who was assassinated not long after that?
Who?
The man who shook hands with Yasser Arafat. Yitzhak Rabin.
Really?
Yes. You didn't know he was assassinated? What planet do you live on? It's not a long ways. I am talking about recent history. Yitzhak Rabin was the Prime Minister of Israel.
Yeah.
He was the one who President Clinton got into this thing with the peace accords.
Yeah.
He was the one that Clinton got to shake hands with Yasser Arafat in the Rose Garden of the White House.
Right.
Shortly after that, Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated.
That's right.
He was embarrassed. He embarrassed international Zionism. It was absolutely against every principle they had for him to shake hands with Yasser Arafat. That's when Clinton's problems began. And they haven't ended yet. Oh, it already has. We got our men fighting in the Middle East for something that doesn't even concern us.
That's right. Absolutely right. Okay, bud. Thanks for answering my question. I appreciate your show, and you have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Folks, we are honored with the presence of Mr. Doyle Shamley. Just walked in. Here's the cable guy.
Hey, what's going on?
What have you been up to, Doyle?
Oh, digging trenches.
Digging trenches. He usually gets in sometime during the program or right after the program, and sometimes even later than that. They've got him working really hard. And the reason he's working so hard is because you guys ain't supporting this broadcast, so Doyle's got to go out and work because I can't leave this mountain. And you all know why I can't leave this mountain. So Doyle's out working his butt off. In the meantime, we're doing everything we can here to keep things going. We need your support, folks.
Yeah, I agree.
And need to get Doyle out of these ditches and back up here where he belongs. So, you got any words of wit or wisdom for the listening audience before we go into our closing number here?
No, just about the Middle East thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Talk about it. You got about 1 minute.
Yeah, well, I do not think that we need to be there at all. And hopefully no one else does either. It's just it's a big shame to put our American men and women in harm's way for something that doesn't involve us. I was stupid enough to volunteer the first time. I was going to be Audie Murphy, like every 18-year-old guy.
Well, you fought in Desert Storm.
Yeah. And I've since wised up, and I hope that people will react to this and start writing some letters or do something. It needs to stop. We need to come home. It's another be home by Christmas deal, I guess.
Yeah.
They're going to keep them over there, and we got another big section of our military gone for the holidays.
Thank you, Sergeant Shanley. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Please write, email, talk, phone, everything that you can possibly do. Demonstrate. Get our people out of that stupid war and notify your congressman and your senator that you will accept nothing less than the impeachment of William Jefferson Clinton.
Then close your eyes and think to yourself, there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Return to your roots.
There's no place like home.
That is home.
There's no place like home.
Wake up, honey.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Honey, it's you.
There, lie quiet now. You just had a bad dream.
No. But it wasn't a dream. This was a real, truly live case. And I remember that some of it wasn't very nice, but most of it was beautiful. But just the same, all I kept saying to everybody was, I want to go home. And they sent me home. Doesn't anybody believe me?
Of course we believe you,
Doyle. Oh, but anyway, Toto, we're home. Home. And this is my room. And you're all here. And I'm not going to leave here ever, ever again. Because I love you all. And, oh, Annie M., there's no place like home.